some of you grew up in a Christian household, and you're very blessed to grow up in a Christian household, to have an environment that's conducive to your spiritual maturity and growth is a blessing from God. To have parents who care enough about you to set boundaries for you is a blessing from God. However, it's easy when you're in that situation to lose sight of that. And in your youth, even if you've committed to Jesus, even if you've made the choice to become a Christian, there's something inside you where you feel as if, as you look around at your friends you go to school with, maybe even fellow Christians, and you feel like you're missing out on something. Do you feel that way sometimes? I think if you're honest, you do. And you know, because of the choice that you've made, that you're going to have to make some sacrifices. If you want to follow Jesus, that means that you're not going to get to experience some of the same things that your peers are going to experience. And you've made peace with that in your mind, but when you're in the heart of the battle, it just seems like there's a lot of thou shalt nots. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do that. Well, what can I do? Why is it hindering my behavior? And you might become bitter about the kind of commandments in the Word of God. I am getting harder for me to say this, but I'm young-ish. And so I still kind of remember being young. It's kind of hazy, but I remember it. I was there once, not too long ago. And I'm here just appealing to you. As a youngish person, I hear you. I get it. I understand. I hear your voice. And you might feel like you're alone. And it might look like you're alone at school or wherever you might be. But your situation isn't unique. And you might not realize that now, but you will in 10 years. Your situation's not unique. And the voice of temptation in your youth is especially strong. And now that I'm 31, I can say that it gets easier. It gets easier as you mature and as you grow and as you make consistent choices. It gets easier. You look at someone who's older than me. You look at someone like Richard Hyatt. You say, he didn't end up that way by accident. It was a lifetime of choices, a lifetime of maturity, of spiritual maturity and growth. But there's something within you, and we're here to recognize it, that whispers, you know what? He gets to do that. She gets to do that. What is the big deal? What if I just tried whatever that is, that thing is for you? What if I just tried it just this once? I hear all about it. And there's something within me that wants to do it. Now, I know that it's wrong, but I'm trying to subdue that voice because I'm curious. I want to try it out. There's something within me that says, what's the big deal? And maybe even this person over here who does have Christian parents, they're even allowing it. So I feel like I'm missing out on something. To quote William Shakespeare, all that glitters is not gold. Gilded tombs do worms enfold. If you're not hip on Merchant of Venice, you need to be. But that's a 500-year-old way of saying everything is not what it seems to be. And there's two sides to the story. And all the fun that you see people having, they never show you the morning after. They never show you the morning after. And the Bible's filled with warnings. The Bible's filled with encouragements to stay true to who you are. And I think there's a special story that we want to highlight tonight that speaks to your very struggle if this happens to be you. And I wanted to bring you a success story tonight. Someone who made it. And his name was Moses. Open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. Can you handle three verses? Three verses. Three verses, three points, And then we're going to make 3 points of application. We can do that. What the Hebrew author does in Hebrews 11 is he gives a brief summary of Moses' life that he lived by faith. And we're going to look at just a section of that summary on his decision to leave Egypt. To leave Egypt. Number one, Moses' refusal. Hebrews 11 and verse 24. Let's follow along. By faith, Moses, when he'd grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. If your memory is hazy on Exodus chapter 2, Pharaoh's daughter had been bathing on the banks of the river Nile. And she'd found an infant in a basket. And she took that infant and pulled him out of the reeds. And she adopted that baby boy. And she named him Moses. She took that Hebrew boy and she raised him to be her own son in the royal house in Egypt. Now, Stephen says in Acts chapter 11 that Moses, as he grew up in Egypt, he was trained in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He knew what it was like to live as an Egyptian. But Moses grew up with the knowledge that he was not an Egyptian. And when he had matured, when he had grown up, he decided to renounce his Egyptian identity. He's no longer going to live as an Egyptian. He decided to associate with his own people, the Hebrew people, who happened to be slaves. He cut his ties with his family that raised him, this adoptive family, and he turns his back on that family, and he embraces a life with the people of promise, the people of Abraham, God's people. And this choice was a demonstration, the Hebrew writer says, of his faith. And I'm here to remind you that Moses' story mirrors our own in so many ways. When you made the choice to become a Christian by faith, you were leaving a world behind. You were leaving a family behind. You were leaving riches behind, and you knew it. You were leaving Egypt behind. By faith, we know that certain behaviors are off limits. But we've counted the cost of following Jesus, and we've seen that it makes sense. We've left Egypt. We've joined a new family with a new set of ideals, new behaviors, a new life. And now you're starting to wonder. Now the fire has been turned up. You see, when you go to high school, it gets real. When you get to college, it gets turned up even hotter. And you're really going to wonder about this question. And you're going to be wondering about that Egypt you left behind. Just by abstaining from certain behaviors. I'm not talking about doing anything. I'm talking about you not doing something. You're going to sacrifice. You're going to be made fun of. You're going to be maligned, as Luke read in 1 Peter 4 in verse 4. So it was with Moses. Let's see how it turned out. Moses' refusal, Moses' choice. Verse 25. He chose rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Moses' choice put him in an inescapable position of disgrace and ill treatment. He forfeited so much. He forfeited his social standing, his dignity in the eyes of the Egyptian people. He turned his back on his family. And he turned his back on this life of luxury in the royal house. He chose to be associated with Hebrew slaves. That's a double negative. It's never good to be a slave. To be a Hebrew slave in the eyes of Egyptians was especially disgraceful. Why did he leave? The Hebrew writer tells us it has something to do with sin. The passing pleasures of sin. At some point in Moses' life, in Moses' maturity, growing up in Pharaoh's house, the Bible doesn't really give us the details on it, but at some point, Moses, as he looked around him and he looked at the culture of the Egyptians, who knows what he saw? But Egypt was as immoral and ungodly as any other ancient culture, as any other modern culture. I shouldn't say godless. They had lots of gods. Pharaoh was considered a son of a god. And he wasn't exactly an upstanding guy. He murdered a bunch of babies. It was a materialistic culture. It was an immoral culture. They were unfair to the Hebrew slaves. But at some point, Moses' conscience bothered him enough, it would not allow him to live this way any longer. It became a sinful thing to him. That's why he turned his back on it. And any comfort he found out as he grew up, any comfort that he would have enjoyed in Egypt, it was just temporary anyway. And so by faith, he couldn't see it with his physical eyes, but he could see it with his spiritual eyes. He looked forward into a future that God promised his people. And he saw that there was something there awaiting him that was far better, that was more enduring than any other earthly pleasure. And he cherished that above all else, above his adoptive family, above his relationship with the Egyptians, above all of the earthly pleasure. But the point is, he was faced with a choice. When he looked around at his culture, he found out that it was wrong. He was faced with a choice, and he chose to sacrifice the easy life and take up with a bunch of slaves. We began the sermon asking the question, am I missing out? Was Moses missing out? You bet he was missing out. Yes, he was. He was missing out on all kinds of things. He was missing out on a life of pleasure, a life of ease, a life of wealth. But it was temporary and it was sinful because he treasured something greater. Verse 26 says, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Now, if you know anything about history, you know that during the time of the Exodus, this was about during the time of the New Kingdom period in Egypt. And Egypt's treasure during this time was legendary. I mean, you couldn't imagine the amount of wealth in this kingdom. The temples to their gods were these like storehouses for gold. And it would just be heaped in these giant piles. Some of that would have been given to Moses. And that only serves to emphasize the magnitude of this guy's choice. I turned my back on that. And the great sacrifice that meant. Is he missing out? Oh, well, you know, only on the most wealthy, opulent, easy lifestyle imaginable. But his decision to forsake the great wealth of Egypt, was because he believed he would gain something even greater. And his choice, again, to draw it into, you know, 2018, into our lives, his choice foreshadowed the kind of choice that you and I would make to follow Jesus. Choosing the reproach of Christ. That's what we're doing when we're following Jesus. Jesus doesn't say, come after me and pick up an umbrella and sit in the sunshine on the beach. He says to you, pick up your cross and you follow a life. You know where I'm going. I'm going to be nailed to this thing. And you walk after me as if you're going to be nailed to it too. That's the reproach of Christ. That's our choice. Either that or the relative ease and comfort of indecision. And when Moses considered the two choices, it was a no-brainer for him. It was obvious. Why? Because he was looking to the reward, something that could only be seen by faith. It was based upon something that God had said. It was not based upon something that Moses had seen. Something upon what God had said. And yes, the problems that you're dealing with, young person, right now, we are not trying to downplay those at all. I'll tell you what, I'm glad that I grew up when I did and not when you are. It's not easy. And I don't feel like it's going to get any easier. I'll tell you what, the book of Revelation is going to be the favorite book of Christians the next coming decades. It's not easy. We're not downplaying your temptations. We're not downplaying the hardships that you go through. And yes, those things, they seem very, very pressing, and they are. But by faith, Moses was able to look past all of those hardships. He looked up and he looked onward past those sacrifices of the present to see something that God was promising him in the future. So we've got to consider our two choices. There's the brief story of Moses. So the application. By following Jesus, am I missing out? I don't want you to get the wrong impression. Yes, you are going to miss out on all kinds of things. And I don't want you to leave this building misunderstanding that. There are all sorts of things you're going to miss out on. If you follow Jesus, you're going to miss out on relationships. You're going to lose a lot of relationships. A lot of friendships. I can't tell you how many friends that Rachel and I have lost. Almost all the people we went to college with. Almost all the people we went to high school with. Don't talk to any of them. Because I don't want to talk to them? Because I don't call them? No. Simply because of a choice that we make. Imagine how in Moses' situation, imagine how Pharaoh's daughter felt when Moses left. You're leaving me? I raised you, kid. I took care of you. I gave you everything. I gave you this life of privilege, of wealth, of splendor. You would have never had this kind of life if you grew up like a Hebrew with your true parents. I'm giving it all to you. And Moses, he left it all, and he left the family that gave it to him. We're going to deal with the loss of pleasure. The Hebrew writer makes no bones about it. There is pleasure associated with sin. But it's passing pleasure. It's passing pleasure. The movies never show you the morning after. They never show you the shame that the sun brings on someone who sleeps with someone who's not their mate. Never show you that part. They never show you 10 years down the road after someone becomes an alcoholic. Never show you that. Because they glamorize this. Why? Because they're making money off of it. Why? Because the devil's running the world. That's why. You're going to lose out on some pleasure. Moses would have been filthy rich. I mean, Donald Trump rich, we're talking here. Filthy rich. He would have had the best clothes. He would have had the best food. And Egypt was immoral, and he would have been in the royal court. They had the most beautiful women. If he wanted to have, you know, this many, you know, companions, he could have had them. He could have buy anything he wanted, whenever he wanted. And he would have never had to work a day in his life. And he lost it all. Why? Because he saw it for what it is. It's all fake. It's not real. It doesn't benefit me. It's not good for me. For Moses, enjoying that pleasure, when you draw it out to its logical conclusion, it's going to kill me. It's going to make me miserable in eternity. Yeah, you're going to deal with the loss of some things. You're going to deal with the loss of honor. Moses would have been in this position of dignity, of power. He would have been in the top circles of the Egyptian society. He could boss these slaves around and tell them what maybe he could have got a cool monument that would have been standing today. I don't know. He was this influential power in Egypt, but instead he chose to identify with slaves. With slaves. What are we talking about here? Talking about what we do when we follow Jesus. Moses did what Jesus calls all believers to do. And he's losing himself in an ironic way so that he can gain himself. We've got to get out of ourselves to gain ourselves. As Jesus said in Luke 9, if anyone wishes to come after me, he's got to deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Moses would have lost his life if he stayed in Egypt. But whoever loses his life for my sake, that's what Moses did when he turned his back on Egypt. He is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself or his soul? If we make that choice, yes, we're going to deal with loss. We're going to be missing out on some things. But we're also going to be missing out on some things that you don't want to deal with in the first place. The pain of broken relationships. The suffering that sin causes. You can't undo the things that you do. You can't unsee the things that you look at on your phone. And all of that affects you. Every little bit affects you down the line. And so it's your choice. Are you going to stay in Egypt or are you going to turn your back on Egypt? Moses chose to be with the Lord at any cost. He, in fact, considered the reproaches of Christ a greater reward. But faithful choices don't just result in loss that's temporary. Results in gain that is eternal. You're going to gain a greater family if you choose to buckle down and follow Jesus. Like the Hebrew slaves, let's just be real, guys. The church isn't much to look at. We're a lot like those Hebrew slaves. They gave a lot of grief to Moses. Just like the church sometimes gives a lot of grief to its leadership, unfortunately. We're a bunch of people who fail to be Christians. We're a bunch of people who make choices that sometimes hurt each other. We're a messy bunch of problem people. But you know what? The church, in spite of all of our problems, we are the people of God. And that counts for something. It's a far greater blessing to be with the people of God than to be with Pharaoh's people. And I would rather have one Christian friend that is weird as all get out, but he cares about my soul, than 100 fake friends. Yes, you're going to deal with loss, but you're going to gain something even greater. A greater family. Greater riches. I'd rather stand with my Lord Then be mocked and be mocked unfairly and deal with all the reproaches that come along, you know, with being a Christian, then stand 1 minute with people like Pharaoh. That's who we want to associate with. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the King of humanity, who gave up his life, who poured out his life because he loves people. That's who we choose to stand with. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God because he loves me, as Nick pointed out at the table. And Moses wanted to be at the foot of that throne worshiping rather than to have his own throne. Why? Because he considered it. Because he chose. Because he weighed it in the balance. We're going to gain a greater reward. Moses turned his back on all of those riches, but he couldn't find what he had in Jesus. He couldn't find it in Egypt. He couldn't find it on the earth. And he gave all of that luxury in Egypt up the moment that he left Egypt to wander in the wilderness for 40 years with God's people. Why? Hebrews 11, verse 16, he was looking for a better country. He was looking for a heavenly one. You know, fast forward in the story of Moses, you know, he never made it to the promised land. Those problem people, they got him all riled up. And in a moment of anger, he did something that was irreverent. And God, as punishment, said, Moses, I'm not going to let you in the promised land. That doesn't mean he lost his salvation or anything. But as a means of punishment, he wasn't going to be able to go into Canaan. Fast forward several hundred years into the future from that. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up to a mountain to pray. And when Peter gets up from his nap, he sees Jesus talking with two individuals. One of them was Elijah. You know who the other one was? It was Moses. You know where they were? They were in the Promised Land. They were in Canaan. That was the first time that Moses ever set foot in Canaan. But it was nothing. As beautiful as it was nothing compared to his heavenly country that he had longed for thousands of years before. He received his reward. How did he do it? Because he lost himself. And when you lose yourself, brethren, you gain Jesus Christ. It's the only way we can have a relationship with Jesus is if we value him and we value that relationship more than anything else in the world. It's just like the Apostle Paul said, who mimicked Moses's faithful choice. He turned his back on this world of Judaism. He turned his back on this life of prestige as a Pharisee of Pharisees, the tribe of Benjamin, who was zealous for the law. Paul says, it's all garbage. I know that's what my old friends, they value all that stuff. But I tell you what, to me, it's garbage when you compare it to gaining Christ. I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. How could he do it? The same way Moses did. He had a superior satisfaction. He wanted a relationship with God more than anything else. But brethren, we end the lesson by saying that this choice is a choice of faith. And this reward is only given to those who make a choice by faith. Moses didn't just close his eyes and shut off his brain and take a blind leap. It was a deliberate choice. And faithful choices are carefully considered. Don't become a Christian on a whim. Don't do it. You weigh the choice. Because when you pick up that cross, you are not to drop it. Jesus doesn't want Facebook friends. Jesus doesn't want a club. Jesus wants disciples. So you need to consider. You need to consider the choice. Moses, he had to grow up, the Bible says. He had to mature. He had to witness the world around him. And he had to make the choice to refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And to be identified with the people of God. He had to consider that. Choices of faith have far-reaching consequences. If you become a Christian and you pick up that cross and you don't look back, it's going to have a far-reaching consequence in your life. It's going to affect everything in your life. Same as Moses. Moses made an irreversible decision. And he made it when he killed an Egyptian to stand up and defend one of his own Hebrew people. And when that moment came, he acted decisively. And that choice forged his future. There was no going back to Egypt. And from then on, that choice affected every aspect of his life. And it affected the life of others. He became a great leader of God's people. And Jesus is calling us to make the same choice, to stand with him. And it's a choice that's going to affect every single aspect of your life. It might affect where you go to college and the job that you take. It's definitely going to affect who you marry. It's definitely going to affect how you raise your children. It's going to affect how they see the Bible. It's going to affect their children and their children's children. Who knows how many people you could lead to the promised land if you make the same faithful choice as Moses. And faithful choices require weighing the short term against long term. Faith is forward looking and it banks on eternity. And we've got to make a choice, yes, to make some sacrifices now so we can enjoy the true reward, the greater reward later on. And so in light of eternity, what do we consider? The sacrifices and the sufferings of this present time? They're not even worthy, not even worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Later, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, for momentary, light affliction, the stuff you're going through now in high school, the sacrifices that you're making, and the disgrace and the reproach that falls upon you because of the choices that you make, the things that you do and the things that you don't do. Momentary, light affliction. And that's doing something within you. If you stick to it, if you don't drop your cross, it's producing for you an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Hear me when I say, when you get to heaven, when you stand before Jesus, it's going to be so wonderful, so great, so majestic, so beautiful, so full of glory, that you're going to wonder why you even thought and doubted in the first place. We can't even imagine. We can't even imagine how great it's going to be. And so we end the lesson by just putting the ball in your court. And we're weighing passing pleasure against eternal pain. We're weighing momentary light affliction against the weight of eternal joy. Either way, you're going to miss out on something. Yes, you will. You're going to miss out on something. Either you're going to miss out on the fake goods now, the temporary, or you're going to miss out on the real goods, the eternal goods. And the Bible simply presents us with the choice. It's the same choice that Moses made, the same choice that Paul made. And 2,000 years later, it's the same choice that you're going to make. And choosing not to decide, you're still making a choice. You're staying in Egypt. And maybe you've been there. Maybe you're living in Egypt right now. And you've been there long enough to know, I ought not to be here. Turn your back on Egypt. And turn to Jesus. And pick up that cross and follow Him. Because that's the only road that leads to glory. If you need to make that choice, then we stand ready to assist you as we sing this song.